The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Hey guys, I keep telling you about metabolic meals. You have got to go to mymetabolicmeals.com/chael and sign up. Guys, they bring the food right to your house. I'm talking about freshly prepared by a chef, ready-to-eat meals right to your door. One-time setup, mymetabolicmeals.com/chael. You'll save $30 just for knowing that code. The reason I love it, look, it's incredible food. For me, for shopping or going out to eat, this is a little bit cheaper. I don't know if you guys would qualify for that. I don't know what your tastes are. But for me, I get to save a little bit of money. But I get to save all of the hassle. I'm a drive-thru guy. I'm not embarrassed to say it, but I bet you guys are too. But why do we go through the drive-thru? Because it's convenient. It's fast and it's convenient. That's the truth. This is more convenient. You don't even have to get into a car. It literally comes to your door. My wife had salmon last night. I stuck with the chicken. I'm into the roasted chicken. I branch out there a little bit. I get some of the meat stuff. I've tried the pasta dishes. They're all absolutely delicious. But I like the chicken. I'm also confident in telling you guys that it's a lot healthier than other ways to eat. You can get soy-free, gluten-free. You can have them count your calories for you. There's all sorts of stuff you can do. Go online and surf around. I'm just telling you. For me, it's cheaper. It is definitely healthier. And without question, it's more convenient. Try mymetabolicmeals.com/chael. Sign up for a week. Sign up for a month. Get 2 meals a week. Get 5 meals a week. Family of one, family of five. Whatever you want to do, push some buttons and you will be set up. And I assure you, you're going to love the food, but when people come over and you're hosting, you're going to look like a superstar.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday! And thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. You know, I got to get right into it because about 3 weeks ago, I told you guys a disturbing story. That's how I set it up. I said, guys, I heard a disturbing story. And I brought it to you guys almost as a counseling session. I told you I was in New York. I had some pizza with my friends, Steve and John. And John tells a story as we're riding back to drop me off at the hotel about a situation he was in that involved Steve, where he was tried to be thrown into a hole. You guys remember the hole story, right? This thing's gone viral through my YouTube channel. You guys have asked me about it. I got personal friends that have contacted me and asked me about it. But I also left the story dangling. And I told you guys, I don't have a conclusion to this story. Here's what happened, which is my friend John was almost thrown into a hole by Steve and two other people. He made it out, and I just left you there because that's where it left off. Well, as this video has circulated, as the podcast has gained steam, not only have I been reached out to, but John has been contacted by some people who are disputing the story. In fact, you remember one of the characters, Tommy. Other people that are concerned about the story. And so John reaches out to me, I reach out to John. I say, look, you got to come back on. We got to bring some kind of closure to this. Because my phone keeps lighting up. My social media keeps lighting up. We got to check in on John and see how he's doing. But we also need to bring some kind of closure because I'm well aware that I left you guys hanging with the story. But I was left hanging. So let's do that all together. I have not spoke to John aside from texting him and setting up this call. So let's all get recapped together. And with that, if we could connect John. All right. And we are joined by John Trosky. John, how are you, friend?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing, Chael?
Well, I'm good, and I got to tell you, I am not trained in this, John. I am not a skilled psychologist or counselor. I don't want to speak to you in any insensitive manners. So if you will allow me just the opportunity to speak freely, let's get into it, man. I told your story.
Absolutely.
All right, I told the story. Yeah. I trust that you heard the story.
Yeah. Your perspective on it was a little bit different of a perspective than I think that I've been dealing with myself personally over the last couple of years, and it did kind of shake me up a little bit. Your telling of the story was a very true and honest telling of the story as well. It's just, you know, your perspective, I think, was an enlightening sort of moment in that.
Did you have any resentment towards me? Was I out of bounds for sharing that story, or was that okay?
No, I have zero resentment for anything like that. It's part of my life. It's part of my quote unquote journey. It's part of what has made me the man that I am today. And I'm not ashamed of that by any means. It helped define me.
I can't help but to constantly go back to this and beat the drum of the legalities or the illegalities that would involve the people who attacked you and tried to put you into this hole. Has your mind even considered, is that anywhere that's on the table, that this gets reported?
No. First of all, it's a decade ago. Let's start with that. It was a very shitty situation that I think could have been blown up into a very large situation. And I think a lot of people in the current generation would have made a very big deal out of it. It's something I kind of took on the jaw at the time, took it as kind of a hazing and an initiation, I guess, of some sorts. I took it as something that, you know, almost was kind of a screwing around event that got the volume just kept getting turned up on and turned up on. And it just, I think the situation got wild. And again, it's a screwed up story. I'm not going to say that it's not. It's just a matter of, you know, I looked at that story as a bigger picture towards life. And, a lot of times in life, you never know what the hell life is going to throw at you. And I think that I'm not saying by any means I was a coddled person or that I was a soft person before this. I think this was almost like I didn't want to be initiated into the military sort of thing. But this is one of those things that I think if you had to go do like Navy SEAL training or something like that, it's almost like they have to, quote unquote, break you to make you able to handle situations. And, it's nothing that I asked for. It's nothing that I necessarily wanted, but it's something that absolutely changed me. And I can look at it, and I think some people will crumble under that kind of life's pressure, and I think a lot of people will just immediately crumble into a victim. That's not who I am. And it wasn't, we were on a set of a major movie that, if we call police in that situation, that's TMZ in there, and it's a major problem, and that becomes something that my entire life would become defined by. And Chael, as I said to you in another conversation, actually, I think in that conversation, I told you that I'm a gay man as well. And I always told you I never wanted my life to be defined by being a gay guy. On that same note, too, I never wanted my life to be defined by this shitty incident. I took all the negative out of it and really turned into a big chunk of coal. And, I fueled my fire for a decade now off of that and many other things. And I think everybody in life has these certain moments and these certain situations that are even negative experiences with them that they, instead of breaking down and crying about them, they use it as a building block, as a further step to becoming the man they know they need to become.
All right. So John, as we're stumbling through this, as we're stumbling through this show together, I do realize that I perhaps arrogantly assumed all of the listeners would remember the story and know exactly what we're talking about. Now, there's a lot, as you've seen on social media, there's a lot of very passionate people that do want closure to this. But I think for the rest, I should probably give an elevator synopsis of what happened. But you were on a movie set, and you were with three friends, Steve, Jared and Tommy. You went into a holding room, what we in the business would call like a green room, which was reserved for the stuntmen. And you were the first one in the door. When you went in, you saw a trap door in the floor. You opened the door. It was very dark. You didn't know where it led. And somewhere you thought, you know what? It'd be best if nobody knew this door was here. You pulled a couple of blankets over it. You threw your bag on top. The next one through the door was Steve. His spidey senses go off. He removes your bag. He removes the blankets. He opens the trap door. And then for reasons that are very unknown, he tells you to get in. The other two guys come to the door. They think this is a great idea. A wrestling match ensues. Eventually, a knife is pulled and put to your belly. You're told to get in the hole where you're fighting to not go in. Am I prevaricated? Have I exaggerated? I that's fair what I just said.
Yeah, I think the only thing that as far as because I've been confronted via text and other things about a couple of the aspects of the story from a few people involved.
But by Tommy, Tommy specifically, though, reached out to you, and he's had a different opinion, right? Is that who you're speaking about?
He's one of them.
Okay.
And it's a situation where I think that you know, as far as the description of the events, you're not very far off from the story that's the actual true story. And I think the emotion of the story, of the way you told it, was a fair way of playing it. However, I think the situation was more that I came in the room, I saw the hole was there in the room. I saw the trap door, and you're absolutely right. Spidey sense went off. I covered the hole up with my bag and everything, knowing that this is bad news, and I live in a business for 10 years before that of professional wrestling, which is a business of hazing and a business of screwing around. But, you know, I think that people were arguing the fact of that it was a hole to nowhere and an old well. It, I believe, was a trap door to a basement that I think, you know, some argue of whether or not you could see how far down it went or you could not. From my recollection, I remember lifting it up and going, I don't know where that goes, and I don't want to know. I have zero intention about defining where that goes. And there was a ladder-like thing going down to the basement, more of a fire escape, like a straight-up-and-down sort of ladder that that was the thing that I was actually grabbing a hold of in the actual situation. And, again, it was a messy situation. And it's, I think that people could dispute the little facts about it. The situation itself, the way you described, is pretty accurate. They were all in the room at the same time, you know, as opposed to coming in one at a time. Steve was the first one to start wrestling me down to the floor. And, you know, Jared and Tom, then at that point, exactly as you said, he basically told Jared to join in on the whole situation. Jared resisted, and Tommy, I think, did resist. And, you know, Tommy, I think, did jump in before Jared. And then I remember, again, I think the thing about that story is it made me sound like such a pussy that I was just getting the shit beat out of me by three guys. You know, I fought those three men off me for 6.5 minutes. Before I was anywhere near that hole. And I think that's why the situation got, the volume just kept getting turned up on it and turned up on it and turned up on it. At one point, I was in that room and I made it across the room and I was holding onto the piping from a sink. And at that point, you know, out of my own stupidity, they said, you're going to tear the piping out of the wall. Let go of that. And I let go of the piping in the room. Like, the situation could have ended if it wasn't for my own dundering mistake in it. And the volume just kept getting turned up on the situation. And I think they were getting so frustrated that three grown men, one of them being a very big, strong man, and the other who has a professional fighting background behind him, and the other a pro gymnast, were not able to drag me across a 10-foot room towards the hole. And this was just something that almost became, you know, an alpha contest. And I actually do remember at the end of it, Steve, when I was breaking down on the outside, you know, he just sat next to me and he's like, Guy, I am so sorry. I just, you know, I it was like we were in a room full of lions and we looked at you as a wounded gazelle. And, you know, it's a situation that, and that quote will stick with me for the rest of my life because that quote, defined me since that day of saying that, God damn it, I'll never be a wounded gazelle again. I'll make sure in zero situations that I'm in will anybody look at me as that weaker person in the room.
Well, John, I certainly would not and am not judging you. I am on your side of this and you're the victim. But when I hear you retell it and you talk about that you think that you could look like a wimp in this situation, there was three guys and a weapon was involved. I'm not really sure how you continue to be hard on yourself. And I'm not sure that it's even my goal to bring you around that you were the victim here and that this was a scumbag move by them. But I do find myself keep going to that point where to bring myself some closure to this, there is a part of me that wants you to go, hey, this was wrong. I was a victim. And those guys are dicks because they are all three of them. Absolutely. And it was a terribly terrifying situation to even hear about.
And that is something that I can absolutely say 100%. This situation is something that should not happen to any human being again. It's something that it's become part of me. And it's something that has made me stronger. But in all honesty, this was a terrible, it was an assault. It was an assault.
Yes, it was.
That three men assaulted me for, I honestly, if you ask me for the exact reason why that event happened, I couldn't tell you. And I don't know why I was the target in that room. I don't know any of that. But, you know, and all three of those guys are scumbags in their own individual way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but on that same note, too, I need to keep coming back to this. Just because somebody does a scumbag move once in their life, and I specifically say this more about Jared than I do anybody else. Just because somebody does a scumbag move once in their life, they shouldn't be defined by that for the rest of their lives. But yeah, no, Tommy and Steve were dicks.
May I ask this just again, because I want to bring the audience in on this, you know, more than you and I catching up. I was asked so many times, and I know you were too. And you know, whether, again, from social to private phone numbers and emails that people had that just listened to the show, and they reached out and said, hey, I got to have some more closure to that. And so I'm trying to bring them that closure that they've asked for. So my understanding is that Tommy heard it. Tommy reached out to you and just goes, hey, just a second on this hole of death. You know, and the way I present it is that hole could have been 10 feet deep. It could have been 10,000 feet deep. I believe those were my exact words. And I think that Tommy weighed in and he actually took issue with that and goes, wait just a second. This was an old theater. This was a trap door so that actors could get from one location to another undetected by the audience. That's what that was. And I did know how deep it was. He's not arguing that it wasn't a scummy thing to put you in there. He's not arguing that you could have been injured to be put in there. But he did say he did want to take a little bit of issue and just say, look, I at least did see the bottom. It wasn't just a hole to the center of the earth. And I offer that also, John, I actually offer that because there was a couple of comments, very few of the thousands that are out there on YouTube right now that can be looked at. A couple of them did say, hey, having a little bit of a hard time with the story. I've been in a lot of rooms. I've never seen a trap door to nowhere. The story sounds like a bit of a ruse. Well, when you find out, and I found this out when Tommy weighed in, that it's an old theater that was used. Trap doors were important. Maybe a magician was on set where he's got to make somebody disappear. Well, you got to have a trap door. All of a sudden, it did make a little bit more sense. But I wanted to offer that to the listener. That's the reason that there was a trap door. And Tommy took issue with it. He goes, hey, this wasn't going to be your death. It was just going to be a bad experience.
You know, again, there was a few things that he took objection to that, you know, and he apologized in the process of it again. But it's a situation where his objections about it were really petty. But I understand his objections. He's somebody who prides himself on being a natural bodybuilder. And he was very upset about the idea that somebody accused him of doing steroids. I'm not one to judge. I'm not one to sit here and confirm or deny. I've been around him his entire career, and I've never once caught him with steroids. I can say that objectively. But outside of that, there's a lot of guys in the business that are just big jacked up dudes.
But we're splitting hairs on his objections at this point.
We're correct.
Okay.
In reality, he was one of my best friends for 10 years who did a really scummy move of assaulting me and joining in on something that, again, you told the story exactly right. In a situation where two people that are not part of our pack, you know, attack one of the pack defends itself. This was not a situation. That's when he immediately, I don't know whether to gain posture with Steve and Jared in that story to advance himself in the movie business, to try to be like, I'm one of this gang, or what, or whether it was just, hey, I'm screwing with John because fuck him. You know, I don't know. But I think that's why our friendship has had some of the divides that it has over the past years. I think we both respect each other professionally, but that's where we're at.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Sports fans, we got you covered with two new shows here at Podcast One Sportsnet. First, get yourself behind home plate with Baseball and Chill as Kelly Nash and Scott Braun cover all the big storylines and trending topics on and off the diamond. Then, suit up for the gridiron with the Big 12 podcast. Join Chuck Cooperston each week as he checks in on the Big 12 commissioner and other guests and go over the best highlights and look ahead to the biggest events in the conference. Listen free to both shows exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOneSports.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love these shows, share them with a friend and leave a rating and make sure you review. Hey, it's summertime. Time for friends. Time for family. And time for some good music. Well, Old Chael has got you covered. Our sponsor, Digster, has a playlist for every moment, every move, and every minute of your life. Go to digster.fm and see what I'm talking about. They have thousands of the best playlists. It's like your best friend made a mixtape for you for every situation you'll ever encounter. And since we're all friends here, I got together with Digster, and I created our own You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen playlist with a mix of my favorite songs. Just go to digster.fm/Chael. You can follow it, you can share into it, and of course, you're going to listen to it. Some of my favorite artists, Toby Keith, Florida Georgia Line, Tim McGraw, many, many others. The playlist will be updated weekly, so make sure you check back each week for updates. Just go over to digster.fm/Chael. Share it, listen, enjoy the playlist. Be sure to visit digster.fm to find the best music for every moment, every mood, and every minute of your life.
Now, back to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
This is one of those weird situations, and people love to do this when they hear about a weird situation. Well, here's how I would have handled it. And it is definitely one of those, but if I was to just have this thought out loud, I would tell okay, so imagine I was there, and for reasons unknown, and I had character issues that I was unaware about, and I participated in trying to put you into this hole. I would have to imagine that after the fact, I would be beholden to you for life. Not only in that, oh my God, I don't know what I was thinking and I'm so sorry, but there would also be a part of me that went, hey man, you had recourse and you did not take it. And I now owe you for that. I just believe that that is how my mind would work. I'm guessing. Well, I'm not seeing any of that.
It's how my mind would work on it. And there have been situations where, you know, where I can identify that I've done wrong in a situation. And my immediate instinct is, how do I make recourse? How do I amend the situation and how do I fix it? I think there are certain people in this world who cannot accept that they're wrong ever. And I think that there was probably two people in the room who almost never in their lives ever said, I've done something wrong, or have never ever said, this is on me, or I've made the mistake, or any, like, again, there's just people in this world that are like that. And I think I was in the room with two of them. And, you know, I just try to accept and deal with people like that in my life. As far as Steve, you know, I really want to point out to everybody that's there, like, why would you ever be in the car with Steve again? Why would you ever hang out with Steve again?
Yeah, I think you do owe an answer to that. I've wondered that too.
You know, and I'm trying to find the right analogy to make sure everybody has a very good perspective on this. I'm not saying that Steve's a good guy. I'm not by any means going out there, and I'm not going to say it's Saint Steve. But I'm also not going to say he's the devil. If anything, he's exactly both and somewhere in between. He's like Cartman from South Park. He's like Rick from Rick and Morty. He is a absolute genius beyond anybody I've ever come across in my life. And I don't say that as somebody with Stockholm Syndrome. I say that as somebody who has a dual master's degree and really has a good grasp. And I'm around, I'm a college professor. I'm around educated people that are intelligent. I've never seen somebody break down the constructs of every angle of life and manipulate them the way Steve does. And he's just brilliant. And Chael, I think you'll agree. Have you come across many more people that you know that are more brilliant than Steve?
No. No, in fairness, I have not. His intelligence. And, you know, I come back to it, though, John. I got to be fair with you. You know, that expression, there's a fine line between genius and insanity. I do think he sits on the side of genius, but there are, it's a fine line at times.
No, he tips over. He absolutely tips over. And as somebody who's been, I believe I've evolved into one of his best friends now. And I mean, that's ridiculous. And I know it does sound Stockholm-y again, but again, after this whole situation, the internet really stirred me up on this, is that I was reading the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments on it, and it's something that stirred me up. So I went to a psychiatrist for one day just to be like, look, this stirred me up again. What does this all mean? Do I have Stockholm that I'm still dealing with this guy? Is this something that I should worry about? And he defined it more as a codependency, and he defined it more as, and again, we use the joke, and I don't believe that I'm as weak as Butters, but the idea of Cartman with Butters or Rick with Morty. You know, I don't think that Morty, even though he has, you know, certain elements of weakness about him, there's still greatness in him. And I think that's what Steve sees in me, I think, in a lot of ways. And I think that's why I'm one of Steve's best friends as well. I think that's what Steve sees in you, and I think that's what Steve sees in a lot of people. And Steve is deeply connected in the movie business and in a lot of other areas. You know, so he's somebody who had to be intelligent enough and had to know the right angles and the right things to do in this world to get to where he's gone to.
You know,
it's been like a PhD program studying under this madman.
John,
that's the best way of describing it.
John, it was very hard, and it will be very hard for us to possibly explain this to the audience, but there is, without question, a certain charm to Steve's ability to explain this situation and unapologetically paint himself as the victim. And what he had...
Magnificent, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and I'm glad you could make light of it.
He's the best carny I've ever... It's like he is a walking, talking professional wrestler 100% of the time.
Look, I'm not sure his argument wouldn't hold up in court, and I don't mean because it has substance.
Know.
I'm just not sure he wouldn't be able to convince one of the 12 people not smart enough to get out of jury duty to see it his way, and his argument was basically this. He said, look, there's no hero in this story, but there is a victim, okay? Everybody got what they wanted except me. I wanted John in the hole. John did not want to go in the hole, and John did not go in the hole. So the only one here that didn't get what they wanted is me. I had a vision and a goal, and I didn't get it. And over time, I have forgiven John, but it was hard for me. As crazy and ridiculous as that sounds, it was also a struggle for me, who you fully well know was on your side of this, to not at least smirk a little bit and tip my hat to the brilliance in its ridiculousness.
He is a lyrical wordsmith, and he is charismatic beyond belief and can change the energy of the room. And it's stuff that, I study under him because I've never seen somebody besides people like The Rock, just from in pro wrestling, that just had an immediate way of manipulating situations and always coming out on top. You know, and he's brilliant, but he's dangerous because the constructs of life do not confine. He has no boundaries. He's not chained by anything. And that makes him brilliant, and that makes him dangerous. And that's, you know, I'm not saying Steve's any kind of hero in this, because he's not. When you say that story of the whole victim story, just to put that in perspective, I kind of, to some degree, and this was by no means a rapey or sexual situation, but I kind of made this situation the Harvey Weinstein thing, that this guy, who is a powerful person that has control over my life, basically presented the story when he said that of, well, look, all I wanted was a blowjob, you know, and I didn't get one. I fought him for it. I had two other men fight him trying to get me, and he didn't give me a blowjob. I'm the victim. And that's literally the same argument that he's making, and it's insanity. But because he's so charismatic and brilliant, he finds a way to make that story work. To his credit, that's why why do you let him drive your car? Because he is, and you've been in, I think you've been in the car with him when he drives, because he is the most systematically brilliant driver I've ever been in a car with in my life, and can make hair decisions, because, again, in the stunt world, he was a stunt driver as well. Decisions that my brain can't even calculate in New York City traffic and gets us to exactly where we need to get to when we need to get there to it. And I'm in the back seat because Chael Sonnen is going to be in my front seat of my car. He doesn't take the back seat. So clarify that to the audience as well.
John, it was very sweet of you, my friend. I really appreciate this closure. We could go around and around on this, but unless you have a final thought you'd like to get off, let's leave it there. We've delivered to the audience their answer, their response, the most conclusive response they're going to get or that we're going to be able to give them. Am I leaving anything out?
Let me get a two-minute wrap-up here of where I took that whole situation.
Have at it.
Out of that situation, I became a stuntman in the Screen Actors Guild, and I had a decade-long career in it that has made me a lot of money. With that lot of money that I made, I came back to the professional wrestling business and bought an old church that I built a sanctuary inside of that I have made $0 in over the last 4 years. And it has been a labor of love that I have taken all of this. And this is a hazing free zone. This is a you know, in the hippie liberal world, this is a safe space. Although I am the person that will call you a pussy to your face. And that is that's one of the no-no words. But this is a wonderful environment that I've created for the business of wrestling that I left to become a stuntman. And I've taken a lot of that negative energy and helped a lot of people out of it by a lot of indie guys that are out there today, and even guys that are up on the WWE and TNA and everywhere else are directly connected with this place. And I'm very proud of them. And we've gone at least two or three different guys into the Screen Actors Guild and stuff. I'm extremely proud of where my journey has taken me from that moment. I'm not going to let that moment define me. I'm going to let my good works define me. And nobody has control of my destiny but me. And to anybody that ever has to go through one of these shitty situations in their lives, don't get sucked into the hole. And I'm not talking about the hole that people try to throw me into. I'm talking about the hole you create inside yourself. Don't create a pity party for yourself. Don't woe is me. Don't pick them up. Man up, for lack of a better term. Be strong, fight your way through it, and realize that one moment doesn't define you. No one moment defines you unless you're the one creating it for you. You know, if nothing in this world matters, then all that matters is what you do. So, you know, that's where I'm going to leave it. Chael, thank you for having me on today, and thank you for giving me the time.
I appreciate you. All the best, John. All right, ladies and gentlemen, John Trosky, give us some closure to that story. You know, I can't help. I'm always faced whenever we hang up with a listener, there's an instant double-edged sword, which is, as the guy that's making this show for you, I got to give a response to it. I don't just move to the next issue. I give a response. The other side of that, knife is, I'm not talking behind his back. Whatever thoughts I want to give, I had my opportunity to do it to his face. I hung up on him, so now I'm behind his back, and he can't retort, which I don't think is fair. I don't like when people do that to me, but it is the nature of the beast of record. I got to respond to that. I don't have a whole lot. Other than, I do still come to the conclusion that that is Stockholm syndrome. The definition of Stockholm just being somebody that sympathizes with their captors. So I believe that that's right. I'd be stunned if anybody could say that that wasn't outside of the definition, but he's also reconciled it into a very positive way, and he is at peace with it. So there is a big piece of me that says, well, who am I to judge? Who am I to say you shouldn't be friends with that guy? That's not my message at all. Wouldn't it be my place? Wouldn't it have any standing in that? It does seem as though he has turned this into a strength. And the other part of me, as much as I want to tell him, hey, there's a psychological miss here or abnormality, if he has used this as a springboard into something positive, then I think that would be inappropriate to say. So I'm still confused on this story. I think that we answered many of your questions. You guys were the ones that were demanding that he come on, or that at least I do my part to get the information and bring it to you. You know how that game of telephone works, right? Remember that game as a kid? You whisper in somebody's ear a message, and then they whisper it in the kid's next to them's ear a message, and then they whisper it into somebody's ear, and then the final guy has to say it out loud, and the message is never what it started with. You know how that game of telephone works. The best I could do is get an answer from him, bring it to you guys, and hope to be 90% right. 90% in that game of message traveling would be a home run. So I tried to do one better, which is to just bring him on. And then where's that going to end? Do I get Tommy on the show to tell his side of it? Do we call up Jared? Do we call up No, let's not do that. Let's do this. Even though this story still has some questions, and even though it's going to dangle out there, and even though it's going to confuse and baffle many of you and me, let's leave well enough alone. This is as close as we're going to get. And I don't think that sitting and analyzing John in any kind of a fashion that could be misinterpreted or correctly stated as negative, I don't think that's appropriate. He's the victim here. And for better or worse, like it or not, he did use that as a springboard, which I think is a sign of mental toughness, not weakness. Toughness. He springboarded that to not get stuck in the world's cracks and to go on and do something positive. And you heard the tone of him right there. He was pretty upbeat. I talked to him at some other times in between my previous telling of this story to you and now. And he was disturbed, you know, and he even said in this call, as strong and great as he sounded, as eloquent as he was, as positive of an outlook as he put on it, he did disclose to us that he went in and saw a psychologist over this and said, all right, doc, you tell me, what does this mean? It's a little above my pay grade. I love to sit on here and be the smartest guy in the room. But guys, I mean, this one's a weird one for me. I've never heard such a story. I don't think we've ever discussed something as perplexing and bizarre on this show. You know what else? I'm glad we had it, because in the world of the free format fighting systems, I feel like it's been a little bit of a slow week. So we had something else to discuss. And there it was. You like saving money, right? Maybe you save some money at the supermarket, the department store. There's so many opportunities to be smart and save cash. Like my father always said, a dollar saved is a dollar earned. Well, guys, how about saving hundreds of dollars on car insurance? And the best part, you can do it right from home. All you have to do is go to Geico.com And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. That's extra money in your pocket. It might just be the most rewarding thing you do today. And guys, before you can insure the car, you got to buy the car. And these days, news travels lightning fast, which is great if you're a sports fan, but it can be annoying if you're in the car market. You're going to go online. You're going to get bombarded with numbers, invoice, list price, dealer price. It's hard to even recognize what is a good price. Well, not anymore. I want to introduce you to True Price only from True Car. It's the only price you need to know because it's exactly what you will pay for the car that you want, including fees and accessories. And how do you know if True Price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car that you want. So you know how to recognize a good price. And your certified dealers know this. So they set their True Price competitively because they want to earn your business. So when you're ready to buy new or used, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Guys, thank you for listening. Get out there and enjoy your weekends. I will see you all next Wednesday. Until then, I am Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Shut it down.
Hi, I'm John Taffer. You probably know me because I've rescued thousands of bars, hundreds of them on TV.
That's your future broken.
I'm also a best-selling author, and I've owned and operated a bunch of other businesses. But now I'm here on Podcast One with my new show, No Excuses.
I only yell at assholes.
Every Tuesday, I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm giving you all things bar rescue, insider peeks of what's going on the set, current events and topics you care about, with in-your-face analysis, and you know how straight I can be. And I'm going to have unforgettable guest interviews with the world's most interesting people, and I'm going to ask them the questions that nobody else has ever asked them. And yes, sometimes I can be a bit of an ass, but I'm going to shut it down every Tuesday and make no excuses. It's going to be the number one show here on Podcast One. Listen to it every Tuesday on PodcastOne.com, on the Podcast One app, and on Apple Podcasts. And remember, rate and review it, or I'm going to shut you down.